whatever happens in Iran at this point could easily be teed up for a false flag. Just somebody in a building shoots into a crowd, and there's Trump and Netanyahu, and we've got the aircraft carriers, you know, strike groups going in.
Al Arabia writes, already the regime has made numerous threats should its nuclear facilities come under attack from either Israel or the West. Compiled from information leaked from an Iranian military source pointed to how Iran had put together a secret plan to retaliate after such an attack, which was codenamed Kiyama, or Judgment Day. The IRGC would immediately respond through missile attacks on the U.S. coalition's Arab and Muslim allies in the Gulf region, hitting military bases occupied by the U.S. coalition, as well as a series of suicide operations targeting U.S. and British interests in the area. But hasn't this playbook been in motion all along? And who would ultimately benefit from a war with Iran? Iran's crude oil and central bank are holdouts when it comes to globalism's grip, and they would be instrumental in starting World War III, which would fatten the New World Order's pocket and put an end to the global populism threatening New World Order domination.
Bibi has repeatedly been under indictment, issues of corruptions, issues of dysfunction. Even Mossad head leaders in the past five, Mossad leaders say this is not the way to approach the Middle East or Iran or the Palestinians. And Bibi has ignored all that. And basically, he's kowtowed to Trump, and he has tried to manipulate his way into Trump's good graces so that we would in some way end up fighting their war.
Iran is like five times bigger than Iraq and 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. The Houthis, with drones and you know, truck-launched small missiles, were able to drive our Navy out of the Red Sea. They drove us out of the Red Sea because the modern math doesn't work for our type of warfare. They'd fire a $100,000 missile or a couple of them at a ship, and we would have to spend $5 or $10 million worth of extremely high-tech surface defense missiles to try to stop these $100,000 drones. And our destroyers don't carry an unlimited number of these, a couple dozen, and they're out. They have to leave the area, return to a port that's not nearby, because they can't be launched at sea. They can only are reloaded at sea. They can only be reloaded dockside. So the math just doesn't work for American power projection the way that it used to. So if we get sucked into quote unquote rescuing Iranians, what does that mean? We're gonna drop Delta Force and SEALs into Tehran because we think that some people have been mistreated.
We know there's a big political, you know, changes happening. What is all this massive movement really about?
I do agree with exerting our influence in our hemisphere because the unipolar moment began in the 90s with the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War.
A Soviet president, Mikhail Gorbachev, has been removed from power, and there are tanks now in the streets of Moscow. Vice President Gennady Yanayev says he has taken over as acting president as the head of state of a special state committee. You're watching live pictures from Moscow this morning.
The unipolar moment is done. It's going to be a tripolar world, Russia, China, America. If you just look at the military, the three most powerful military nations, or it's the U.S. and the West financial system versus the BRICS, which has China, Russia, Brazil, India, South Africa. Either way, America is no longer the 1,000-pound gorilla that can just walk around the country smacking little monkeys around. That day is over. We couldn't even stop the Houthis from firing missiles in the Red Sea. So that's a key choke point. The Red Sea cuts off going all the way around Africa.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon, polyphenols, and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. Oh, a lot going on over here. Busy, busy day. Trying my best to get to the bottom of some reports. So we're, you know, a little chaotic on this front. You know, yesterday I learned something, a little update about a guest we had on this program, Christine Crowder. As many of you guys know, we had her in studio yesterday. A lot going on over there. Apparently, I just hit the surface of a very important subject matter over at the DOJ. Literally, my phone wouldn't stop ringing yesterday. The FBI, DOJ, apparently they still have, and you will never believe it, a lot of corrupt individuals who are all part of the J6 persecutions. Well, they're still standing and still have their jobs. And by the way, there's like a ton of evidence that these individuals were going out there and persecuting conservative Americans. But for some reason, those at the top haven't fired them yet. It's over a year. Why not just keep it going? We'll dive into that. Plus, I caught Senator Rand Paul's office doing something that's extremely shady. Extremely shady. Also, in regards to Crowder's case, they started to redact a DOJ official's name from an email. Now, that DOJ official, I, of course, reached out to, but I'm told that he's a very, very corrupt individual, shouldn't be over at the DOJ, according to my sources. I'll get into that in just a bit. Plus, we're going to keep our eye, obviously, on everything related to Venezuela. There's more stuff happening there. We're going to highlight a little bit of the J6 stuff from yesterday, because when we signed off, there was so much political theatrics going on that you're not going to want to miss out on. Plus, as many of you guys know, we had Mehek Cook on this show just last week. Mehek's going door to door. She's an attorney, and she's following what she thinks is potential Somalian fraud throughout Ohio. The Somalians are on to her, and as soon as she walks in the front door, they're now actually assaulting Mehek. She'll be joining us either tomorrow or on Monday to give us an update. But the Somalians got the word out. Mehek Cook is someone exposing them, and they're not happy. And in fact, she was just assaulted again. I think this is the fourth time she actually been assaulted in the last week. They don't like her, though. Oh, and then one Somalian man found out that Mehek isn't a white girl, that she's Indian, and he thought he was outing her. And she's like, I don't think anyone thought Mehek was a white girl name. It's great. It's really great. Things are starting to get really good. We'll also give you an update into the fraud investigations that are happening all around the country, because those are really, really important that we detail for you. And, you know, we got a couple of really cool guests joining us. Robert Govea is going to be joining the program. He's a criminal defense attorney. He's going to give us the latest on the Brian Cole case. As many of you guys know, he's the individual that's being accused by the DOJ and the FBI of being the pipe bomber. We all have our second thoughts, but there was an update in yesterday's case. And Robert's going to break down what all this means, because it's very technical. And although I like to, you know, do my best, I used to binge watch Nancy Grace growing up. And so I feel like I could speak from a legal stance, even though I'm not an attorney and don't have any legal background. But Robert does. And so we'll bring him onto the show so he could explain what happened yesterday in court. We'll also bring on Annie Cyrus, because Annie, I've known her for years. She's an incredible woman. She's actually an Iranian who fled Iran, came to the United States, and now she lives here. They don't like her in Iran, specifically the government. The people love her, but the government doesn't. She has been exposing a lot of the everything that goes on in Iran. And she'll be joining us to break down the latest happening right there because folks, it's getting interesting. Plus, there was a story that I saw that went up in Reuters about the U.S. seizing a potential oil tanker in the Atlantic. Now, they're saying, according to this report that we have in front of us, that this is something to do with Russia, potentially. I've actually, and that's the reason why I was running over here. I'm trying to confirm with the Pentagon as to whether this report is true or not. When I hear back, I'll bring that straight up to you guys. Because as many of you know, I now cover the Pentagon, and so I have the privilege of being able to speak with them on these issues. And I want to be, you know, as factually correct as we can. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's start off at the top of the show. Let's talk a little J6. Why am I bringing up J6? Well, as many of you guys know, it was very relevant yesterday because obviously it was the fifth anniversary of January 6th, which means the Democrats are going to subject the rest of us to political theatrics because, well, they didn't get enough in while they were running the show. So yesterday we had to watch this, as you want to call it, like a candlelight vigil. Vigil would be the correct word for this. Take a look at this footage here. So yesterday they decided to do this dramatic showing. I would say that they're probably doing this in remembrance of Ashley Babbitt, but they're not. They still believe that they were the victims of January 6th, even though they're likely on the side of those who orchestrated it. And again, that's just a report that I brought to you, of course. But it gets even worse. The White House website. Take a look at this. Okay, this isn't bad. This is funny, actually. The White House enjoyed its January 6th 5-year anniversary. And if you scroll on down, you'll notice that they get a little smart in this new, I guess you could say, website that they posted up yesterday. Even when you keep scrolling, they even bring you to how it's Nancy Pelosi's fault. I take responsibility. That's the quote from Pelosi's office. And then it brings you to the clip, the 40-second clip of Nancy Pelosi saying, we need to take responsibility for this. The Capitol security failures were our security failures. Remember that? Well, she scrubbed it, doesn't want you talking about it. And in clip two, the White House even stepped up their sense of humor on the issue by putting together two historical moments to bringing you this laughable clip. Take a listen.
Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
Wait a minute.
I take responsibility for not having them.
Damn!
Oh, that's a rough one. You know, I really like this new White House. They seem to have a great sense of humor, as they should. And it gets even worse. It gets even worse because the J6 Select Committee, the new one that's in town, obviously, I tell you all the time, they've got their work cut out for them because the Democrats did delete everything because, well, that's what innocent people do. They delete evidence. So the J6 Select Committee decided to put this clip up. Clip three. Take a look.
On his first day back in office last year, he pardoned nearly 1,600 of the rioters and insurrectionists.
Well, the seeking of pardons is powerful demonstration of the consciousness of guilt.
Guilt. The guy that also received a auto pen pardon wants to talk about guilt. You see, this is the thing, folks. This is the thing. They are trying their very best to rewrite history. They're hoping you're not paying attention. But the good news is our side doesn't have a short-term memory span. Most of us can think back. We know these things that happen in history. We archive them up here, even though they try to scrub it off the internet. And we know that they're lying to us. We know just that. But they're again trying to rewrite history, and they're getting help from some key allies, people who obviously have shows, cable news shows, and they call themselves comedians, but they're not very funny. Jimmy Kimmel decided to take a moment to have a complete meltdown in regards in clip four to the anniversary of J6. Take a listen.
Today is the fifth anniversary of the events of January 6th. 5 years ago today, after losing what eventually judges from both sides in cities all around the country unanimously declared to be a free and fair election, Donald Trump tried to overthrow our government in a pathetic and illegal attempt to stay in the White House. And there's no other way to put it. You cannot look at the facts objectively and come to any conclusion other than that. He tried to force the vice president claimed voter fraud and refused to certify Joe Biden's victory, which even his own vice president refused to do. And when Mike Pence chose the Constitution over his running mate, Trump got his supporters all riled up and sent him to the Capitol, where they staged a violent and deadly riot, which he enjoyed from the comfort of his office for hours on television, until someone in his circle begged and pleaded with him to half-heartedly call them off. It was a selfish, disgraceful, tyrannical, and dangerous act. And I think it's important, I think it's very important that we do not forget that, that we don't give in to this revisionist history. 5 years ago today, we saw proof live in front of our eyes that the American president is as un-American as they come. So I just wanted to mention that before I wish you all a happy January 6th.
Ah, happy January 6th to all you Democratic loser cowards, whatever you want to call these people. They're unhinged. They can't take a joke. They can't tell a joke. And they're infuriated that President Trump is, in fact, their president. You know, Jimmy Kimmel isn't a funny guy. I've actually never found him to be funny. I thought, and I've always thought, that he's probably one of the, and this is my opinion, of course, probably one of those people who's pushed forward because they align with the right political class in this country. And they give them this platform to go out every day and punch and push propaganda. And that's the reason why he still has a show. Don't you like it when he sits here and pretends like President Trump did something illegal that day and then says, you can't dispute me on the facts that he deems are facts, that President Trump tried to steal the election? And then he says, oh, every city said that it was a fair election. No, they didn't. They ran on, their politicians read off an exact quote, all of them, same exact quote. This was the fairest election we've ever seen. This election was fair. This election was the safest. It was the same verbiage that was being used all across platforms. They were full of it. They wouldn't allow you to challenge it. Anyone to challenge it, you saw how their lives destroyed. So Jimmy Kimmel says, you can't debate it. No, you can debate it. You can debate it. Because while Jimmy Kimmel gets on stage and says what Trump did that day was illegal, I would say, what law are you citing here, Jimmy Kimmel? And obviously, because his audience is low IQ and they clap it like seals for any stupid joke he tells, they're not going to ask tough questions. They don't know the answers to any of those questions. What did President Trump say specifically that day? Give me the quote that was illegal. You have every damn right to challenge an election. And for all of these people, I thought it was acceptable to go out there and try to go after the president for doing just that. Those are your enemies. Those are your enemies. People that pretend that they care about democracy, those are your enemies. Those are the people that tried to take away this country, our country. And now they're pretending to be fighters, patriots. It's all a load of crap. It's all a load of crap. And they're hoping you're just as dumb as them to keep consuming it. But if you're watching this show, you're not as dumb as them. You're highly intelligent. You're able to make your own decisions. And you're not going to feed into the propaganda machine. Now, so many of us have been sitting around wondering, when's something going to happen? I know. It ticks off all the right people. Every time I mention that there have been no major arrests made, specifically, since we're going to get specific, I'm talking about Democratic operatives who decided to work on behalf of the Obama-Biden regime to advance their political agenda, which meant overthrowing our elections, going after their political opposition by using unconstitutional means. And then guess what? We never saw anything. We never saw any arrests. I was told there were arrests. We didn't get a mugshot, though, of James Comey. Apparently, he was arrested. He was charged. He was charged, they say. Those charges dropped, obviously, by a judge. They blame the judge, not themselves. Democrats seem to know how to handpick their courts, somehow have a way of getting into certain judges' hands. And it's not just that. Even James Comey, that's not even on my top 10 list. Why? He's a Republican. He was a Republican. Again, they tell you John Bolton. Well, John Bolton was a Republican. Again, and it's not that I'm saying that we should only go after Democrats. You're picking the lowest hanging fruit to go after. Lying to Congress is all you can make stick for Comey? That's kind of crazy. Tish James, supposed to be happy with the Tish James arrest. She was never arrested. She was charged. Charges dropped. Never got a mugshot from any of these three. Democrats didn't give a damn when they wanted their mugshot of President Trump, even though they didn't have a RICO case against him. But it didn't matter. All it was about was making him look like a criminal. The difference between left and right is just, it's so clear. It's so obvious. And it's really frustrating when you just ask for the most simple things, like arresting people that tried to destroy this country. They come after you. And it's frustrating. It truly, truly is. Because I have sat back and most of the people you see in their positions, I've endorsed. And I'm wondering, when the heck are we going to get something going here, guys? You tell me it's a process, take some time. But guess what? That sounds good. It sounds logical. But then I look back at what happened when the Biden regime took control. And I look back and I see that the Biden regime was able to round up hundreds of January 6th defendants, slap them with charges, which were at best trespassing. I actually call it unauthorized tour of the Capitol. But they slapped a lot of these folks with conspiracy charges, pushed for terrorism enhancements. And many of those folks didn't even go near the Capitol that day. Weren't even there at the rally. Enrique Tarrio, 22 years in prison because, well, you can. And so demanding a little bit of accountability isn't much of an ask. And in fact, I really like this clip. Regardless of what I said in a tweet on Twitter, Julie Kelly has done some great work. And in clip 5, Julie Kelly yesterday said something that is very, very true and that I want everyone to listen in on. Take a listen to what Julie said yesterday on Steve Bannon's show.
Well, I'll tell you this too, Steve. I was told early on after the president won that there were going to be a lot of hearings in 2025 featuring January 6th defendants, their families, their attorneys, et cetera. We got none of that. So a lot of this is the weakness. The lack of accountability originates, I believe, in Congress. So they better step up because people are very frustrated.
Where do we go? Substack all of it.
All right. So, and this is the issue here. She says that it's Congress. It's not Congress. She's got friends, though, so I understand why she can't sit there and say it. But it's not just Congress. Yes, Congress is partially to blame. But the people that are making the arrests, that's not Congress. And I've also seen criminal referrals get passed over to the DOJ. Haven't seen any arrests. Haven't seen any indictments on that. But she makes a fair point. Many of us were told that accountability was coming for those who did what they did that day, who knew what was going to happen because it was very well planned out, and we haven't seen anything. Folks, if they get away with it, it's going to happen again. They're coming after all of us. It's going to be significantly worse. It always gets worse. You saw what happened, obviously, with the Obama regime, how they went after the people in the Tea Party, how they utilized and weaponized the IRS to go after their enemies, and they got away with that. They also got away with going after journalists, spying illegally on journalists. Cheryl Atkinson, a key player in all of this, who has spoken openly and is suing the government still to this day because, well, even under President Trump's administration, they won't settle that lawsuit yet. Okay. She has been incredible on this. And it wasn't just her. There were multiple Associated Press reporters who were spied on as well by the Obama regime. We also know there was a Fox News reporter also spied on. Nobody cared, though. Nobody cared. Everyone just said, oh, well, that's real bad. And that was it. Because everyone's too afraid. Everyone's too cowardly. And so time and time again, they say, well, it happened. We know it happened. And then they move on. And then what happens? Well, then it gets worse. It gets worse. Because then when the Biden regime came into power by illegal means, you know, we'll just say that. Well, guess what happened then? James O'Keefe got raided because he legally obtained a document with Ashley Biden's diary. Of course, many of you guys remember this. And in that diary, she cites, and again, this was according to the notes that they asked her to verify before running it. But again, Ashley Biden was quite strange. But in that diary, it says that she was taking, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was like strange, weird showers with her dad. Something strange like that. There's the write-up there. So again, I know Project Veritas offered it up. to the FBI. They didn't want it, but then they went after James and his journalists. And what happened there? Nothing. But James did get a bunch of documents back regarding that warrant, and it's all just redacted. They drained their black ink on that one. James, I just think it was recently at a turning point event, which is asking for justice. I was asking for the current FBI to maybe not redact the whole thing so he could figure out why the FBI was allowed to raid his home as a journalist, but can't do that. Can't disclose things like that. There was a slip up, and we're going to go into detail in just a bit. Like I told you, we had Crowder yesterday in studio. She is an individual who is very brave, very, very brave. She was put on a TSA terror watch list. She found out because her husband is a U.S., well, he's a federal air marshal. And you know what happened there? Well, at work one day, found out when it got a fax in. No, look, my wife's a domestic terrorist, according to the federal government. Because a friend, a former friend, called the FBI with a tip. Long story short, I got a bunch of documents sent my way. Some of it wasn't redacted, which is strange, right? Because they got it at Rand Paul's office with certain names not redacted. But Rand Paul's office went above and beyond and actually redacted those that launched lawfare against innocent Americans. So they're protecting key people over at the DOJ by redacting their names. How do I know this? Well, the email that I received, which is what they received, well, it shows an individual named Kenneth Corder. Kenneth Corder currently now works for the DOJ still. And Corder in this email, which I didn't redact because F this guy. But this guy's calling for her to be moved over to a folder where I guess they're going to go prosecute her later. It's a misdemeanor what she did, apparently, even though Kenneth Corder did not see a lick of evidence that proved that this woman went into the Capitol on January 6th. How do I know that? Well, because guess what? The images they used weren't her. They never verified it. They never did any geofencing. Nothing. Zilch. Zip. They surveilled her home. They said she has really nice grass. And apparently, according to Kenneth Corder, that's enough to get her arrested. It gets even worse, too. He was going after her social media posts, too, and after he sent that email, a search warrant was actually issued for her Facebook page. Yeah, that happened. That happened. But let's go in. We're going to talk about this in just a moment when we come back from break. Let's go off on these rhino Republicans that sit there and pretend to be patriots for the American people. Mr. Rand Paul, this is you, sir. And when they go on cable news, they talk about how awful the Biden regime was. But they never call out the key players because they're all afraid. They're all afraid. I'm not afraid because I'm not a coward. But Senator Rand Paul's office, you must be a bunch of cowards. And I did reach out for comment. Of course, they don't respond back because I no longer work for Fox News. But when I worked for Fox News and there was always a hit that they wanted to get on, they were very quick to respond. But long story short, we're going to dig into this because, folks, we caught them red-handed trying to cover up for the deep state. And any coward, any scumbag that does just that needs to be called out. We're going to do that right after this quick break. In the meantime, though, let me just remind you all that over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible sale going on right now. Head on over to the shop, take a look around, because we're giving away the Atomic Defense bottle. Now, as many of you guys know, when you make a purchase of a supplement, you're going to get one of these two options for free. You can get the Atomic Defense or Shilajit gummies. Head on over to the shop right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and get this going. As we head into cold flu season, you're going to want to make sure your immune system is at tip-top shape, would be the word. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel any time, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10 if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. This links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online, thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That it, part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you want, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking to, for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO-type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here. Our little update coming from the Pentagon. The DOJ, DHS, in coordination with the Department of War today announced the seizure of another oil tanker, which they're saying violates U.S. sanctions. The vessel was seized in the North Atlantic. So this is true, this report, and they have confirmed it. Now I'm pulling up, because the Pentagon did respond by forwarding me that tweet. There was another tweet too, I think, that they just sent over. I will pull that up in a moment. But yeah, they are saying that this report is factually true. And another oil tanker seized, which is quite the interesting take on all of this. Now also, it looks like Pete Hegseth, the Department of War Secretary, also confirming it as well. The blockade of sanction, obviously Venezuelan oil, will remain in full effect anywhere in the world is what they're claiming. So Pete Hegseth confirming that this tanker is Venezuelan oil, and that is the reason for its capture. So that's a little update we got there for you. As many of you guys know, I try to vet the mainstream reports before we bring them to you here on the show. So, that's why I'm always busy. If you see me looking at my laptop, that's probably why. All right, I want to talk a little bit more about an interview we did yesterday. This was a big interview. And like I tell you, I do my very best to bring you the stories first before everyone else. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. I still have some very strong sources who call and say, hey, Brianna, you might want to look this way. And so I received that call in regards to the woman that we had in studio yesterday, Christine Crowder. She's an incredible woman, a patriot. The full interview is available on right now, Band Off Video, if you'd like to see it. But shortly after I, on my X page and on independentnewsroom.com, released my report about how that woman was targeted by the FBI, TSA, and DOJ, well, everyone had to comment on it because it was really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. The documents themselves really highlighted the fact that the DOJ and the FBI orchestrated an effort to go after this woman, even though they had literally no evidence against her claiming that she was in the Capitol on January 6th. Now, here's the thing. A former friend, obviously, ladies, we all know, we all have that one friend who might be a little biatch, not like us, and she tries to do something shady. Well, her friend called the FBI, gave him a tip, and said that she saw Crowder going into the Capitol on J6 through video. Now, as you can see here, these are the outfits. It's not her. That's what Crowder was wearing on January 6th on the left, and the outfit of the person she accused her of being is on the right, and clearly not her. Different colored jackets, different length jackets, different colored hats, different colored boots, different colored pants. I mean, it's all there. It's all there. And so, unfortunately, the FBI launched an investigation based on a bad tip. Now, that investigation wasn't quickly resolved because, well, why would the FBI do that? They continued to drag it on, even forwarding over to the DOJ's office. And it got really, really bad. Now, before we get to the point of the DOJ's fault and all of this, let me just remind you, you know, we had Ms. Crowder in the studio yesterday, as many of you guys know, and I asked her a very specific question because the photos that were in her FBI file indicate a woman holding up her left hand. Now, I know that she's unable to do just that because, sadly, decades ago, she suffered from a stroke. And I asked her specifically about that stroke and what it means for her functions, what she's able to do. And this is what she detailed for us in clip six. Take a listen. When I was going through your documents, there's the image of the woman that they're accusing you of being, and she's lifting up her left hand,
right,
her arm completely, and she's waving to someone. I spoke with you yesterday about this, haven't been able to do that since you were 26 after an injury.
Yes, I had a stroke at 26 years old, and I never regained the use of my left arm. So my friend knew that because she's been on vacation with me. We were close for a long time.
Yeah.
So why they would think someone, all they had to do was look at me or look, research something about me and find out that I was disabled. So there was obviously no way I was climbing the Capitol steps, number one. Mm-hmm. Or number two, I could use my left arm.
Yeah.
And they also left out that my husband was, you know, an air marshal himself.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was just a coincidence, though. That
right. Yeah. Right. Just weird coincidence that they forgot that.
Well, I mean, as we go through all of this, we look through all the information, I'm glad you have this now. I'm glad you've been able to obtain all this information. This is really important for you to have. And I do hope that you guys are able to get counsel here because what they did to you is unacceptable and there needs to be accountability. The people who are part of all of this, they also need to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to get arrested. At least fired.
I don't blame the air marshals that had to follow me. They were just following orders.
Yeah.
It was the people at the top.
Yes, those are the ones.
Those are the people at the top who allowed this and told my husband, you know, walk away.
Yeah. Well, Christine, we're very honored to have you on the show today, and thank you for sharing your story with the American people. I know everyone was so upset about this terror watch list that so many Americans landed on, so thank you for being here and sharing your story.
So let's just take a second to reflect on this. All they had to do was just look at her walk, and they would have known that this is two separate people, okay? Like, they didn't even have to worry about her wardrobe, what she wore that day. They don't even have to worry about that. All they'd have to do is if they were surveilling her, like they did, they were outside of her home four times. There's four separate reports that at great detail explain what they saw from outside of her home. All they had to do was look, and they would have noticed that her walk is different from the walk of the woman inside the Capitol that day. All they had to do was talk to her, and they quickly could have just dismissed it and realized, all right, she never went in there. But they didn't do that. Instead, they elevated her case, and they actually put her in the system, in the TSA system, as a terrorist. Now, the FBI director did put out a statement in regards to our report from yesterday, as well as Senator Rand Paul releasing it hours later, saying what happened to Christine Crowder was wrong. 2 years of surveillance, a terror watch list, no crime, no capital entry, no evidence. This is exactly what went wrong after January 6th. Misplaced priorities, unchecked programs, and obviously the political overreach. Now, folks, keep in mind, according to my sources, the individuals that were on her case
Well, they still work for the FBI. And get this, the prosecutor that didn't see any evidence of Ms. Crowder going into the Capitol that day, because there was no evidence, well, that prosecutor still works for the Department of Justice. Now, it gets really, really bad, like really, really bad, because Senator Rand Paul's office is going out there doing a media tour all day yesterday. I saw him everywhere, Breitbart, Washington Examiner. I saw him on Fox Business. I think we also saw him. There was another show that he was on. He did a lot of media yesterday, based on her story. And I don't like it because it's her story. Put her out there. Let her tell her story. That's why I don't reach out to Senator Rand Paul to come on to talk about that. I'd reach out to the person who's involved here, because I don't want to sit here and say my seal claps. Thank you, politicians, for doing your jobs. I'd rather say, hey, Christine, tell me your story. What happened to you? Because that's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear from politicians on that front. Well, while he was doing a media tour yesterday, he kind of did something that's really not cool. All right. I'm going to call Senator Rand Paul out for being... Senator Rand Paul's a rhino. And I'm trying to my best to tap dance around this because I've always respected him up until this moment. So I've received the documents that were sent down by the FBI, DOJ, and TSA. So all of these documents were put together and sent to his office. I got those documents. Now, there were some redactions done by the actual agencies themselves, and those were fair, I'd say. They actually didn't, from what I could tell, it didn't look like they overdid it. But then Rand Paul's office added additional redactions. If you're wondering what additional redactions we're talking about here, take a look at these emails. Now you're going to see. On one side, it's the email that I received, and I put it out for the public to see. That email specifically shows the individual who sent it. It doesn't show his personal information. I'm not giving you his name. I'm not giving you his phone number, I should say. I'm giving you his name. Kenneth Quarter. Kenneth Quarter is an individual who is over at the Capitol siege section. And if, as you see here, he is the senior counsel. Okay, keep in mind, folks, he's sending this email out and he's asking for them to move Crowder's file over to the future prosecution folder, I guess, is kind of where he's alluding to there. So they obviously had multiple different folders for them to put things in. Now it gets even worse, right? Because here I am and I put this email out there for you guys to see. You can see that this individual named Kenneth is the one who sent the email and ordered for her to be prosecuted. Then he also talks about going after social media as well. And they did actually do that. After that, they actually got a search warrant for her Facebook page. But here's where it gets really, really bad. And I hope we can put both of them side by side. Because as you see, in my email that I released, you see his name. In the email that Rand Paul's office put out there, they black out his name. So why is Rand Paul's office covering for this DOJ official? Why are they covering for him? Why are they trying to hide his name from you, the American people? Well, guess what? Kenneth Quarter still works for the DOJ. According to his LinkedIn page, he's still there. And so when I put this out yesterday, we put this, both of these images side by side. I wanted you all to see what I put out there and what they put out there. And I reached out to Senator Rand Paul's office for comment on all of this, but you obviously have no explanation for why you're trying to cover for this man. And so they didn't respond. But it gets really, really bad because yesterday my phone was blowing up. My phones, I should say, were blowing up by DOJ sources telling me not to let up on this. Because Kenneth Quarter is a really bad guy. And Kenneth Quarter is still at the DOJ. And for some reason, this guy is protected. And I don't understand how he's protected, but he's protected. So obviously that's a message that Senator Rand Paul's office received prior to the release. I didn't get that message, though, just so you all know. Until later. Now, I've asked the DOJ for comment on all of this. I even reached out to Kenneth directly. He got an email from me this morning. Hey, Kenneth. Hey, specifically, what am I asking of for this gentleman? Well, why did you target a disabled woman when you never saw any evidence of any crimes being committed by her? He never saw any evidence. No matter what he says, he saw nothing. So he could sit here in this email and target this woman, but he didn't see any evidence. He didn't care. She's a Trump supporter. Get her. Round her up. In my opinion, that's exactly what happened behind the scenes. Because he didn't have anything. He didn't have anything. He had nothing. So I asked him specifically, would you care to apologize, Ms. Crowder? I also asked him, do you have any, you know, regret for directing resources to go after and target a disabled woman and potentially have her arrested, even though she wasn't even there at the Capitol area that day at all? She saw President Trump speak and then she left. Because obviously, she's described it too, as somebody who does have a disability. She cannot be in large crowds like that. It's very chaotic. And obviously, walking is one of the things that she does have a bit of a disadvantage of sometimes. So she does have to be cautious where she goes. And so once after the speech, she left. She has receipts to prove that as well, as you heard her detail. And then I pretty much asked him, are you going to resign? Because you're a pile of garbage. You're a pile of garbage. You went after J6ers. You targeted them. You are a key player. Because when I sit back and I watch Matthew Graves speak about January 6th, the prosecution, I go, this guy's not very smart. He's not very intelligent, in my opinion. So who is behind the scenes doing all of this? And it's a serious question that we all have. It's a very serious question that we all have. So this individual who was elevated to senior counsel to go after J6ers, why is he still there? Now, again, that's a question for Todd Blanche, obviously, the deputy AG, and the AG Pam Bondi herself. Why are these people still there? I hate it when they tell you, oh, well, we can't just fire them. No, no, no. That email alone tells you that he is incapable of serving at the DOJ at any capacity, at any capacity. We're talking about a man who saw no evidence and wanted this woman arrested, wanted her prosecuted. And he's still sitting at the DOJ, still has a job. And none of you guys could say why. None of you could say anything. This tells me sirens are blaring that Christine Crowder isn't the only person who this man went after. He saw no evidence, zero, nothing, literally nothing. He saw nothing. He saw another woman in photos that was not her. All he had to do was compare both photos and he would have known that was not her. But he didn't care. He wanted her arrested. That's according to the email. And in fact, and thanks to Michael Cernovich for pointing this out as well, in the email that we posted, he's also calling for her social media posts to be looked into. And what happened later? Well, we got the document. They actually did get a search warrant for her Facebook. And as you heard her detail yesterday on the show, she really wants her Twitter account back. Her Twitter account was taken. She still doesn't have it. So this Kenneth guy, really bad guy, still over at the Department of Justice. Don't know why. Don't know why we can't fire this guy off of that alone. He literally targeted a disabled woman just because she's a Trump supporter. Just because. Didn't care about anything else. Saw no evidence, no geofencing, no nothing. Had no clue that she was in the area that day. Didn't see a lick of evidence, but wanted her arrested. Wanted her arrested. Because the facts don't matter. It's all about your political motivation. His motivation going after conservatives, obviously. And again, folks, these are people who are still at the DOJ. They tell you, oh, trust everything. We're working hard. There's no way you're working hard with people like that in your corner. Why? Because he's probably sandbagging you. And to sit here and to pretend like these people are people that are good people. Okay, maybe you could say this was a misstep. Notice, though, the FBI put out a statement yesterday through the FBI director. And then we got DHS Secretary Kristi Noem to also give me a statement yesterday about all of this. But you didn't hear anything from the DOJ. It's very obvious. And this is the problem I have with these damn redactions, because they are covering for people who are toxic, who shouldn't work for government, and the American people should know who they are. The American people should know every key person who went after Americans because they didn't like their political beliefs. We should know that. Why? Because even if they get a job outside of government, if they become an attorney in the private sector, you should know what they did prior to all of this, what their role was before you hire them as your own attorney. Imagine hiring someone. Let's just say he's no longer at the DOJ one day and he decides to open up a criminal defense law firm. And then you want to hire him. And then he sees your political beliefs, doesn't like it. And let's say maybe he's a Dem. I don't know. I haven't asked him that question. Will he intentionally sandbag you because he doesn't like you? Well, Christine Crowder was almost arrested for a crime she wasn't anywhere near. Tells me this guy can't be trusted. Tells me this guy can't be trusted. So yesterday, my phones were blowing up in regards to several people over at the DOJ. They're not happy. They've got questions. And they're saying, Brianna, don't let up. Don't let up. We're not going to let up anytime soon. In fact, we're going to keep plugging away, asking those questions that nobody wants to answer, because there's a lot of shady you-know-what going on over at the DOJ and the FBI still. Because again, I'm receiving calls from people who are telling me that the agents that handled this case, even though the FBI director knows it was wrong, that they still work there. But they can't confirm personnel matters, so they won't tell you if that's true or false when you reach out to them. We know, I've tried in several different matters. I would like to give them credit when credit's due, but I can't do that because they won't tell you. And they don't have to say specifics, right? They could tell you that everyone who is involved in the J6 persecutions, they're no longer at the agency. They could say something like that, or they've been suspended without pay. We don't need names. But we just don't hear any of that. So we're not letting up on this anytime soon. I'm not. Because I think it's absolutely ridiculous that our taxpayer money is going towards individuals like this, who you and I both don't like the DOJ. And even under this new leadership, we're like, all right, we're gonna give it a shot. We're gonna let them earn our trust. And they're not even halfway there. They're not. Because they still employ toxic human beings who should not be at these agencies. Again, Matthew Graves, not a very intelligent man. Just go look at his previous public speaking engagements. Not very smart, but still has a position. Still has a position in government, or still had a position in government, we should say. And this is the other problem too. You know, Matthew Graves steps away. Why would people still linger around? Probably because, well, new administration, let's stop them. So I do blame the people who come into these positions. Pam Bondi's office, what are you guys doing? Why are you keeping him around? Todd Blanche, why are you keeping him around? This is why people don't like Todd Blanche. This is why. Because these people, it's such an easy win and they won't take it. Why won't they take it? They're going to say, oh, you can't just fire people. Yes, you can. There's a lot of ethical issues here, for one. Also, you have to wonder and question his judgment as to why someone would move to have someone arrested without seeing any evidence. To have her social media accounts looked over. Search warrants go out for those accounts, Facebook specifically. We showed you that yesterday. So yeah, I've got a lot of freaking questions. We're going to keep asking them. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes the DOJ. I don't care how fired up people get. I'm so fed up with people telling us that we can't ask basic questions. We've got questions. We're going to get answers to them. And we're not backing down anytime soon. All right, let's get a little humor in. Let's turn to Jasmine Crockett. Because we're on a theme here. The theme is stupidity, and Jasmine Crockett is the perfect person to kind of pivot to right now. The congresswoman obviously doing her very best to go out there and be a media darling to the corporate media hacks, the left-wing corporate media hacks. Those at The View. Everything Donald Trump does is bad. Nothing he does is good. And Jasmine Crockett's letting you hear just that. Take a listen to clip one.
This ain't about Venezuelans. I get that there are people that don't like the leader. But guess what? There are a lot of people that don't like our leader. And regardless, somebody coming into the United States and grabbing our leader in the middle of the night and killing people in this country, I'm sure everybody would be outraged at them doing it that way. Yeah.
Venezuela is not about Venezuela. I can't with this woman. She is just so ridiculous. Listen, she's never said a positive thing. That's the reason why she gets all the attention she gets, The View. I mean, those women love her. They love her because, yes, she is their equal. And by equal, I mean they are on the same wavelength when it comes to stupidity. These women are morons. They want you to believe that anyone would just come into our country and capture Donald Trump. No, there was actually an arrest warrant. He has killed hundreds, thousands of people by pushing drugs. Venezuelans know that he is a drug pusher. They know that he is a cartel top official. And that's just the very beginning. He's been starving the people of his country for years now, Jasmine Crockett. So Venezuela is about Venezuela. The capture of Nicolas Maduro is being cheerleaded by Venezuelans because, well, they're freaking starving. They're starving. And if we had a corrupt leader in this country, we actually wouldn't even need, a foreign government to come in and capture him. In fact, the people would be able to do that. But unfortunately for Venezuelans, a lot of them are unarmed. And so when they did take to the streets, they were ran over by tankers. Folks, we have a big issue here with Democrats trying their very best to, at every point, go after the Trump administration. Yes, you could be critical. Yes, you could call certain elements out. But to sit here and to pretend like the reason why we hear Venezuelans thanking President Trump isn't actually a real thing to be thankful for is pretty absurd. It's pretty absurd. Again, I don't have a hot take on Venezuela right now. I'm still waiting to see a lot of things. We saw President Trump yesterday post on Truth Social that we are getting oil from Venezuela now, that they agreed to give it to us. I don't like that. But we need to learn more about the terms of this agreement. But to sit here and to pretend like capturing a man who was killing Americans, getting them addicted to drugs, isn't a win is insane. Is insane. I'm not saying the United States needs to capture Venezuela. I'm not saying that we need to run Venezuela. I'm not saying that we need to keep going out there until every communist in Venezuela is gone. That is up to the Venezuelan people now. They could decide that for themselves. But we captured someone that we deem in this country as a criminal, who they deem in their country as a criminal. And they were unable to get him out. So the United States, well, we did. And this is something that the Biden regime wanted to do as well. They at least talked about it, offering $25 million for anyone who captured Nicolas Maduro. We should probably make, should make them cough it up and give that money to President Trump. All right, folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. We're going to dive into the latest regarding the alleged J6 pipe bomb suspect. We have an attorney coming on to break down what everything means. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because when you purchase any supplement over at the shop, you are going to get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or the Atomic Defense for free. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I have some very exciting...
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That it, part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking to for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.